Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsors for our program, and that includes Monsanto, Roundup Ready Plus for weed management solutions, and GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong. In this week's program, we are going to learn all about what's going on at the NAMA Fall Conference. That is what we call what used to be the Issues Forum for the National Agri-Marketing Association. So I have with me in the program this week Sarah Stever with Paulson Marketing. And Sarah, you are the committee chair for the conference this year. Why don't you just give us a little bit of a look, preview, whatever you want to call it, of the program this year.
Well, we made a few changes, which we think had a positive effect. One of the changes for NAMA has been to follow the president. So this year we're in St. Louis, and we've followed President Paul Redditch here, and I think that's had a very positive impact, of course, with Monsanto here. That's very helpful, and I think that's been a big draw. One of our draws, we believe, will be Brian Billick, so former coach of the Baltimore Ravens, and a Super Bowl-winning coach, of course, at that. So he'll be speaking in the morning. We started out our session with Dr. Akande today, and he's very brilliant man and spoke on leadership qualities and had a wide variety of topics, one of which was how we're all born original, but then we grow to become copies, which I thought was really funny, and a Humpty Dumpty story on top of that. So that was
I saw on Twitter the Humpty Dumpty thing. I had to step out and didn't hear that part.
My kids are going to get that story again with a slightly different perspective than the first time they got it from me. And then in our breakout sessions, we had mobile use in rural, which I think is always an interesting thing to catch up on and stay current with, and then a session on big data, and then we had a kind of a case study on the St. Louis Cardinals creative. So interesting mix. This afternoon was really our marketing track. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning will be our agricultural track, and so Sarah Wyatt will be speaking with a panel in the morning, and she's got a lineup there. And then we've got our baseline agricultural outlook that we'll be getting an update on, and then climate change in agriculture, which I think is an interesting topic, one that we've never brought into NAMA. So,
well, I think what we are trying to do with this conference is a couple things. One is really work at the whole concept of leadership, developing leadership skills, because we have the spring conference that where we do our big awards ceremony, for example, although there will be some awards presented here, but is to kind of reach maybe a slightly different part of our membership to get them more engaged. And at the same time, of course, you know, develop our skills professionally as marketers. And, you know, mentioning climate change, things or issues like that have a real big impact on our marketing efforts, whether you believe in climate change or man-made global warming or whatever. I don't think anybody would argue that that's not having a big impact on even the way business is being.
Well, I think we're looking at a neutral debate is what we'd really like to find in agriculture, and where is the real science? And I've attended the Soil Science Society of America's annual meeting and seen scientists in a room argue about the validity of it and the trouble that they have with the modeling that they have. So I think it's a debate that needs to be ongoing, and hopefully this will be a good way to kick it off.
It seems like, and I think location does have an impact always on any of our meetings, but we have a near record attendance here, actually, with a couple hundred people?
Sure, almost 200 people.
Yeah. I mean, that is just great for a fall conference. So I think this all is good signs for the future. For this particular conference that we're at right here, what are some of the things that you could say to NAMA members who have not attended one of these about why they should come to the fall conference? Maybe they also go to the spring conference, too.
Of course, we think there are two reasons. One is to learn from the speakers, and we've tried to provide a good mix. Although I wish I could attend every speaker session. I think a lot of us feel that way, but we want to also provide a variety. And the second most important reason is really to network. And I think that's a big reason why a lot of us come, is we want to catch up with old friends and we want to make new friends and really have sidebar conversations about how ag is changing and how marketing is changing and where things are headed. And this has really been a great venue for that. This particular place at the Ritz-Carlton has been really conducive to that, I think. So two good reasons to come to fall.
We have some students here. I interviewed from the University of Illinois. I interviewed them. And basically my question is, why are you here? And what do you hope to get from this? I think all three of them said networking was a top priority of theirs. And frankly, anybody that gets involved in and goes to these events, I just don't know, like with my career, that I would have this career if I didn't have this opportunity, frankly.
I would completely agree. And we love the energy that people early on in their career bring into the industry and their ideas and enthusiasm. It really adds a new vibrancy to what we're all thinking about and wondering about.
We're also supporting our efforts to support the young people to come into the industry through our Agribusiness Education Foundation, ABEF, and here we are also finding ways to kind of help that, which involves raising some money.
Yes, it does. Time to buy your squares from Sherry Seeger. She's out there doing a great job. I'm not sure how much she's raised yet, but I've got a couple squares. So
yeah, I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed on the two I bought. So we just have to get a plug for ABEF in there. Another thing I thought I would like to ask is, Paulson Marketing, you got Brian the videographer here, and I think it's interesting that you do interviews with some of our speakers, like Dr. Conde. I don't know that a number of years ago we saw that kind of involvement. So what does that do or mean for Paulson when you get to come in and do?
Well, we are hoping it's actually giving some exposure to NAMA outside of the people who couldn't attend. So I think you get into a routine of being able to attend NAMA if you're in proximity to it. And if you have to travel a little bit, it's kind of nice to be able to have the folks back home participate by understanding, you know, what we are. And I think it puts it out there for the next event. So we're now already looking forward to spring and what we want to do for our spring best of NAMA. And then fall conference follows right on the heels of that again for 2014. And this gives people a way to look back when they're thinking, am I going to attend this or not? Well, now you've got in a nutshell just what all the breakout sessions and keynote speakers are about.
That's part of the purpose of doing this interview is how can we support this organization that's been so important to our business or careers and the audience that we have through agwire.com. Today we're all media. I've been saying that and hearing that for years now, and really we are. It's interesting to see how the concept of media has changed. We had a discussion on this in our executive committee meeting, actually, because we were talking about the concept of maybe having some new kind of award in our overall awards program for media, but what does that mean? It's just sort of in a discussion mode right now. How do you define media today, for example?
Well, I guess I would ask you that because you really ended up at the forefront of what is new media in our industry.
Yeah.
So we look to you, Chuck, for those answers.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. The tools are there for us to communicate with people. And from a social media standpoint, I still envision that largely in my mind or try to explain it as, this is just a way for us to do what we're doing. We're all going to be gathered at this reception tonight. We're chatting with each other and talking and sharing information and things like that. That's what we're doing on social media. We do it. We've kind of used the tools to do it from events, like industry events. That's kind of, I think, the thing that's sort of driven what we do. Are we media? Yeah, we're covering that event and putting out stories and interviews that people can learn from, using the training we had as journalists. But when you're doing it in a very personal way, that's not traditional. And when you're doing it with these, you know, like say Twitter, and you know, you can't get real in depth there, you know, but you know, you are really getting out a lot of information to a pretty broad audience. And how do you define that today? We still think like that it's evolving, even for us.
You know? I would agree, and I think we would both agree that ag's got a big job to stay ahead of all the other social media out there that maybe doesn't paint us in as favorable a light as we'd like to be painted in. And I'll give you the Chipotle scarecrow video that just came out a week or two ago. Yeah. We're just constantly up against that kind of thing. And if we don't all get comfortable with social media and get the story out there in a positive way, because there are so many positive stories in agriculture, and it's really important for everyone to do their part.
Yeah, I mean, if people get USA Today and look at the op-ed page where they do our view, and then you got somebody with the opposing view, their view is kind of interesting because it's all talking about the caged chickens thing. And it's like, this is the op-ed on USA Today. We're talking about an unbelievably important thing to a segment of agriculture and farming in this country. And, you know, it's an interesting perspective that's coming from a non-farm voice, which has obviously huge reach that USA Today does.
Yeah, where do you even begin to make a dent in that? Sometimes that's how it feels, but you still never give up. You know, we've all got to still be out there and still supporting groups that I think are giving us good research and insight on how we can actually make those connections. So Center for Food Integrity is doing a great job of that. USFRA is doing a great job of that. Reading that research, understanding how to make the connection, which I think most effectively is finding a common value with someone, some sort of a shared value. Otherwise, your facts essentially fall on deaf ears, and really science is on our side. But it can't trump emotion, seemingly.
Well, we'll give a shout out to USFRA, because following this conference this week here in Missouri, we'll be one of their food dialogues in Columbia, Missouri, on Thursday the 19th. So fooddialogues.com, and I don't remember the exact time, but it is this Thursday, September 19th. So we'll get that mentioned in there. Before we close here, how about anything you might want to say about what's new and exciting with Paulson Marketing?
Well, we just have a research paper that's going to be coming out probably about the time of NAFB on grain marketing and the perceptions of farmers and how they feel about grain marketing. So we're always excited to bring new research out into the industry, and we had an earlier thought paper about trying to gauge how much you need to be concerned about reviews on products. And so what we found in our research, and I think we had about 450 surveys that we did, was that virtually everyone to some degree takes reviews seriously. And so if you are in particular in rural lifestyle segment, you've got to be paying attention to that, because it does have a profound impact, and we think even the people who don't admit that they're affected by it might just be a little bit affected by it. So something to consider.
Well, I know when I'm buying products that I look at them, now I take them somewhat with a grain of salt, because you don't always know if what you're reading is really what you think it is. There's some good examples of that, but yeah, I mean, it's, to me, it just rounds out that due diligence that I think you should, especially if you're making a major purchase, like in the case with a farmer, like you know, a big piece of expensive equipment on their farm, you know.
Exactly. I think you've got to be aware of that, and just in the big data session we covered how sometimes you don't always know the right questions to ask. So if you're using a survey, you know, a lot of times if you're monitoring social media, it's going to give you the topics that you need to be paying attention to. And that's really observational behavior versus quantifiable behavior that you'd have in a survey. So,
well, thank you very much. That is Sarah Stever with Paulson Marketing. We've been visiting here at the NAMA Fall Conference, and that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.